I don't care what you think about the guy or his message. You gotta admit, the blimp is gonna be pretty cool. Badge. Money Machine. Show 90. Early December. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, everyone. I'm Paul Douglas Boyer. You're listening to the Mad Money Machine. Welcome back, everyone. This is the show that is proud to be sponsored by Index Funds Advisors at IFA.com. Go check them out and take their risk capacity survey to see if you can handle the coming bad years. Oh, yes, it's easy to laugh now, but just wait till gold is $2,000 an ounce. Morgan Stanley issues full U.S. recession alert. December 12th, telegraph.co.uk. Morgan Stanley has issued a full recession alert for the U.S. economy, warning of a sharp slowdown in business investment and a, quote, perfect storm, unquote, for consumers as the housing slump spreads. I'll have a link to the full article in the show notes of this show, show number 90. Can you believe it's show number 90? I can't believe it's show number 90. When I was doing show number 9, I never would have guessed that I was going to be doing a show 90. But here we are, and here we are talking about bad news upcoming. Now, why would Morgan Stanley issue a full U.S. recession alert? If it comes true, they'll look like geniuses. If it doesn't come true, well, we got one wrong. So what do you do to protect yourself against the impending recession? Well, you take the risk capacity survey that I've outlined before. Can you weather a 35 to 40% drop in your investments, in your portfolio, for potential long-term gains of 12 to 14% annualized over the long term? If you can't, then you better adjust your asset classes to be a little bit more defensive. Well, I broke a promise to myself, and I said I wouldn't get involved in politics this year because it's never done me any good in the past. Just gets me all worked up over nothing, as Scrooge would say in that movie, which I'll talk about in just a second. Oh, but I watched the Republican debates in Iowa today. Now, why in the world would I put myself through that? I have no idea. But it just got me, I don't know, depressed about the lack of potential for great change in this country. Great improvement is what we're looking for. I don't want change for change's sake. I want improvement. And I want change for improvement in the way the country is run. You see, I have worked in government before, federal government, and I have worked for federal government, and I have seen what goes on behind the curtain, and it ain't pretty. And thus, you might detect a bit of a cynical attitude. That would be putting it mildly. So what is this blimp I talked about at the opening? Well, I guess I have to utter the name that shall not be uttered. You have to go and see it for yourself at ronpaulblimp.com. The grassroots supporters have collected enough money to put a blimp in the air with a couple of banners on it. One side asks, "Who is Ron Paul? Google Ron Paul." And the other side says, "Ron Paul Revolution." And it was supposed to fly over the Boston Tea Party on December 16th, but bad weather has hindered its progress, unfortunately. Looks like it's going to fly over Columbia, South Carolina instead. And some people are talking about maybe it should go on down to Florida then, where there's better weather. And, yeah, you know, people could get outside a little easier and gaze heavenward at the magnificence of the Ron Paul blimp. I'm sure you'll be seeing it on TV, and of course, if you don't see it there, you can find it on YouTube. If I had a drum, I'd have to bang it to add us all the crumpy, crumpy time. Since I left me from the Lord, I simply have to say, it is the season to celebrate Ebenezer Scrooge. I've got to admit, one of my favorite movies since being a child is that of The Christmas Carol. There are so many versions of it, and we try to watch one version at least every Christmas. The one that I guess is the most favorite of ours is the musical version with Albert Finney. Came out in 1970. Scrooge dances around when he gets his religion at the end of the movie. We sing the songs. You know, when we lived in London for a year and a half, we got to see the play, Scrooge, the musical, the play. It had Anthony Newley acting as Scrooge. He has long since departed the earth, I believe. And we really enjoyed that. We came out of the theater dancing down the streets. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. That's the nicest thing that anyone's ever done for me. Yeah, that's where that song came from. And other versions that we like, I think there's one with Patrick Stewart, which was good. There's one with the dude that played Patton, George C. Scott. That was a good one. The old ones are kind of good with Alastair Sim. That was from the 50s. There's one from the 30s even. It was, kind of fun to watch, black and white. Really, you can tell it was filmed on a pretty low budget. Well, I'm hoping that Scrooge finds his religion. I hope the groundhog doesn't see his shadow or whatever superstition you might believe in, and that the economy skips this business about recession, that we get our credit crunch over in control, that the Federal Reserve is somehow able to navigate the waves of the monetary crisis, so to speak. And that we can get back to business of being a productive society once again. Speaking of the presidential poll, I remind you, there have been only 16 people have taken the presidential poll at madmonmachine.com along the right-hand side, or some for some people, the very bottom of the page. There's a red area where you get to click a button and pick which guy you want to be president. And go ahead and do that, and that will help shut me up about talking about politics, hopefully. Speaking of movies that I like to watch over and over and over, I got to see another one that I like to watch over and over on A&E in high definition, beautiful, glorious HD the other night. I actually recorded it and I was able to skip through the commercials. And it was The Matrix. And I'd like to play a little snippet from that movie right now.
I imagine that right now you're feeling a bit like Alice, tumbling down the rabbit hole.
You could say that.
I can see it in your eyes. You have the look of a man who accepts what he sees because he is expecting to wake up. Ironically, this is not far from the truth. Do you believe in fate, Neo?
No.
Why not?
Because I don't like the idea that I'm not in control of my life.
I know exactly what you mean. Let me tell you why you're here. You're here because you know something. What you know you can't explain, but you feel it. You felt it your entire life, that there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there, like a splinter in your mind, driving you mad. It is this feeling that has brought you to me. Do you know what I'm talking about?
The Matrix.
Do you want to know what it is? The Matrix is everywhere. It is all around us. Even now, in this very room. You can see it when you look out your window, or when you turn on your television. You can feel it when you go to work, when you go to church, when you pay your taxes. It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
What truth?
That you are a slave, Neo. Like everyone else, you were born into bondage, born into a prison that you cannot smell or taste or touch. A prison for your mind. Unfortunately, no one can be told what the Matrix is. You have to see it for yourself. This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill, the story ends, You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Okay, so why do I play a clip from The Matrix on a show called Mad Money Machine? Well, that's one of the most memorable movie clips of recent memory, I think. It's got to be one of the top 10 segments from any movie that's come out within the last 30 years or so. And it works on so many levels. So why am I playing it on a show about money, a show called Mad Money Machine? Well, the metaphor of taking the red pill means that you will learn something and be shown a whole new world. You'll be shown the inner workings. It's like going behind the curtain in The Wizard of Oz and seeing that there's somebody back there pulling the strings that you didn't realize before. And the more that I investigate what money is, the more I am starting to see behind the curtain, the more I'm starting to take this red pill. And it's just really eye-opening. You know, I'm an engineer by training, and so we weren't taught anything about money in school. I didn't go to business school. I didn't go to liberal arts college. I learned about programming a computer and second-order derivatives and that sort of thing. And for most of my career, it was just about writing software. And in that sense, I literally was in the virtual world, the blue pill zone of the Matrix. And so what is it about the Federal Reserve that puts you into the Matrix? Well, first of all, like I've mentioned on a couple of shows ago, to realize that the Federal Reserve is no more federal than Federal Express is kind of eye-opening, isn't it? Don't you think? And then to realize that inflation is not just some natural phenomenon, the prices rise, but it's caused by the Federal Reserve printing more money. And by the way, when we say printing more money, it's not to be taken literally. We're talking about injecting more money into the system. When you start digging down into it, you can really go crazy with some of the conspiracy theories that people have written about the Federal Reserve. I remember even, I think, 25 years ago, there was a book that came out about the Federal Reserve and what a secret cabal it was and all this sort of stuff. And I just kind of laughed it off as somebody with their crazy conspiracy theories. And maybe it was. Maybe it was, and maybe it is, and it probably is. It probably was. But there is actually some red pill business going on with the Federal Reserve that the common person out there, I don't think, really understands. And maybe if we did understand it, we would want things to change a little bit. It's kind of a coincidence, isn't it? And I'm sorry for this analogy, but I have to say that it is a coincidence that the letters in the two words red pill are so close to the letters in the two words Ron Paul. And he's the one talking about bringing some competition to the Federal Reserve. He would like to see... I'm sure he's not specifically endorsing this Liberty Dollar business, but he would like to see competing currencies, perhaps backed by something valuable like gold or silver, so that we don't get this control over the money supply by just a few guys in a room. If you're interested in those kind of conspiracy theory movies, I had links to things called the Money Masters, and I'll have some links to some other ones in the show notes for this show, and they're out on the Delicious page for Mad Money Machine. You can see that. It's kind of fun watching. It kind of opens your mind a little bit. It kind of gives you a little taste of a red pill. Whether it's true or not, I leave it up to you. I haven't made up my mind either. So I guess at this point I have a kind of a purple stain on my tongue, the mixture of a blue pill and a red pill. And speaking of shadowy secrets... We the countdown is on towards Mad Money Machine show number 100. And I am going to reveal a secret on show number 100 that I have been keeping from you for 2 years. This show 100 will be a show that you do not want to miss. You will want to download it as soon as it comes out, in fact. And by the way, if you have any feedback that you'd like to call in for show 100, I might take a few callers and play your feedback about the Mad Money Machine and what the past 99 shows have meant to you over the past couple of years. You can call them in at the voicemail line, 206-734-4763. It'd be great if we had somebody famous to call in. Anybody famous listening to the show? Let's play a round of the world's favorite game, Guru Roulette. I've replaced the numbers on a roulette wheel with the names of investment gurus. I'll spin the wheel and roll the marble, and for the selected guru, give you a little background on their investment philosophy. So here we go. And the winner this time on Mad Money Machine Show 90 is Bill Gross. William H. Gross is an American financial manager and investment author, according to the WP. Not Washington Post. Wikipedia! He was born in Middletown, Ohio, and graduated from Duke University. He is one of the world's largest mutual fund managers, focusing mainly on bonds. Called the nation's most prominent bond investor by the New York Times, he manages Pacific Investment Management's Total Return Fund, the world's largest bond fund and fifth largest mutual fund. Article in Forbes magazine, December 5th, Bill Gross warns of tumultuous 2008, sees Fed funds rate at 3% or below. What we are witnessing is essentially the breakdown of our modern-day banking system, a complex of levered lending so hard to understand that Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke required a face-to-face refresher course from hedge fund managers in mid-August, Gross wrote in his December Investment Outlook. Stand by for a tumultuous 2008 as the market struggles to move from the shadows back into the sunlight of sounder banking and financial management, accompanied by Fed funds levels at 3% or lower, he said. The Fed needs to bring interest rates down steadily and significantly more, Gross said, in order to counteract the contraction of the shadow banking system, which will continue to require higher risk premiums for non-treasury securities in an increasingly risky financial environment. Gross said historical evidence showed that Fed easing cycles during prior recessionary or near-recessionary economies have invariably dropped to 1% federal funds rates on a real or inflation-adjusted basis. Gross said the average real short-term rate over the past 8 years, calculated using his methodology, has been 1.5%. If so, then 2% core inflation and 1.5% real Fed funds require a drop to at least 3.5% just to maintain current momentum. To restart a near-recessionary economy, we may need to eventually go down to 3% or lower. Well, I saw, heard, Bill Gross on the Wealth Track show with Consuelo Mack, and she asked every panelist what their number one investment would be, and he said, you gotta be careful about the United States, and so he would recommend the EFA, Exchange-Traded Fund, which is the Europe, Asia, and Far East, okay, invests just about everywhere except for the United States. He thinks that the falling dollar and troubles in the United States would make it better for you to put your money somewhere else. And now let me caution you, though. Bill Gross doesn't have that great of a track record. Okay. Well, congratulations, Bill Gross. You're the guru on Mad Money Machine Show 90. Well, Bill Gross and everybody else thinks it's time to do something. And in that event, I think it's time to play step four for you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. A 12-step program for active investors. Step four, time pickers. My name is Paul, and I'm an active investor. I've tried all the market timing systems, and I just can't figure it out. It's madness. Can't anyone tell me when to get in and out of stocks? Sure they can, I keep telling myself. I see your crooked glance. I've got to get back in the black soon. My portfolio is bleeding. I'm gonna scream. When I look at this, I just can't figure it out. I've tried all of these methods to see madness.
Don't think that I can't see the crooked glance you're giving me. And all I tell myself are the same damn lies. And you said, don't scream, it'll take some time, but I'll get my high grade from all the times I wondered why I don't need another chance to think you tried to scream. It'll take some time again.
Time pickers, also known as market timers, believe they can predict the future direction of the market. But time pickers are fooled by randomness in the market. Academic studies prove that time picking doesn't work. Gains and losses are impossible to identify in advance. To add insult to injury, time pickers pay more taxes. If you or your investment advisor ever say the phrase, "Now might be a good time to invest in," we're here to rescue you. We're here to bring you home.
Is there some way you can rescue me? Some way you can bring me home again? Some way you can rescue me? Rescue me. Rescue me.
Oh, yes, indeed. That step and all the 11 other steps can be found both at the MadMetalMachine.com website and on the CD set that IFA has released called An Audio Journey to Tradeless Nirvana. Now, I have mailed out to the winners the CD set. Hopefully, you'll be getting those in the mail soon. Also mailed out a copy of the book, Jim Cramer, Stay Mad for Life. And if you would like to win a copy of Jim Cramer's book, Stay Mad for Life, just, I don't know, advertise the MadMoneyMachine.com show somewhere. Somewhere on the internet, write a blog posting, put MadMoneyMachine.com in the signature, and then let me know that you've done that. And I will enter you to win on the next show. Here's a question that comes up an awful lot. Should I prepay my home equity loan, or should I prepay my home mortgage? And I guess the answer is always, it depends. But at first glance, you got to think, well, if we really do have inflation, you know, some people are saying that this business of the way the government calculates inflation being 2%, 3% or whatever they calculate it, is just fundamentally flawed. I mean, ask somebody who has to pay for medical care if they think inflation is 2%. Ask somebody who has put gasoline in their car if they think inflation is 2%. How about paying for college education or any education for that matter? Is inflation 2% for you as well? So should you prepay your mortgage with today's dollars? Or should you go ahead and wait and pay your mortgage with tomorrow's dollars? Kind of answers itself, doesn't it? Let's take a look at the portfolio smackdown. What's going on this year? Well, that is a good question to ask. We are seeing the fact that there's a flight from risk. And do you know that when you're investing, the only place to get returns is by investing in risk over the long term? Now, what does it mean to invest in risk? Well, it means that sometimes are going to be bad and sometimes are going to be good. And this is one of those times where it's not so good for those invested in risk. Let's take a look. For example, December 7th, what we have is 20 people who have picked individual stocks according to Jim Cramer's recommendations. And we're taking the average of all those 20 people against the IFA Index Folio 100, which is their most risky portfolio. As of Friday, December 7th, the average of all the stock pickers was up for the year, 5.22%. The IFA Index Folio 100 was trailing that average at only 4.39%, so just under 1% difference there. And you can see a graph of the changes in the portfolio of the Index Folio 100 over the entire year and the average of all the stock pickers over the entire year. And it's just been this past couple of weeks that the Index Folio 100 has dropped slightly below the average. Oh, it's going to be tense moments in the last couple of weeks of the year to see if IFA Index Folio 100 can sneak back into first place. Why is Index Folio 100 underperforming this year compared to what you might expect? Well, you have to look at the components of the Index Folio 100 and see that indeed it is the most risky of the portfolios. It is invested 20% in microcap stocks, 20% in a small cap value index, 5% in REITs, and 12% in a large cap value index. Well, now it just so happens that in the year 2007 so far, those four categories of asset class are in the red. Of course, you know REITs are in the red. They're down about 14.5% this year. Small cap value is down about 10%. Microcap's down about 5%. And large cap value is down about 2.5%. Yes, and that is why we diversify. That is why we have some money in international small, which is up 7.8% this year. We have some money in international small value, up 5.5%. We have some money in large cap, up 6%. We have some money in international value, up 12%. We have some money in emerging markets small, emerging markets value, which are up 37, 36, and 46% for the year. You never can tell, can you, which one is going to be up and which one is going to be down. You've seen this big color matrix that goes on a year-by-year comparison of which asset class is up in any given year. And if you look at that, you can never tell in the future which one's going to be up and which one's going to be down. No one can predict it. I can't tell you what it's going to be hot for 2008 or 2009. So you just got to buy them all. You just got to buy them all. And if you're thinking that picking stocks, even though the average of the stock pickers is a percent higher than the Index Folio 100, if you're thinking, well, I need to go pick stocks, obviously, and get a better return. And yeah, Cheapo is up 37% for the year, and Mark is up 37% for the year as well. So maybe you want to send them your money and have them invest it for you. Would that be a better idea? I'm sure they'd like that. Let's pull something else out of the tool crib. Well, the tool this time continues on the Red Pill and Federal Reserve theme. It's a website that provides you with some key statistics as prediction aids, it says. It's a website called nowandfutures.com/key_stats.html. And you'll see on there a whole variety of charts, which might take some real study to figure out what's going on. But there's a chart, for example, about the M3 money supply. There's a chart about the international dollar, income and expense. There's a chart about the U.S. budget deficit. And there's a chart that says recession virtually 100% when both are below zero. And I'm looking at it, its current data. One is below zero. The other one was below zero. The two measures there are first the yield curve, and the second one is the CPI adjusted monetary base annual change rate. And so when both of those are below zero, supposedly a recession is predicted virtually 100%. Well, they both were below zero recently, and so maybe we're already in a recession. Well, I leave it up to you to figure out if you can make anything out of all these charts from the tool crib this time. Use them at your own risk, the now and futures charts. And like other tools I've given you so far, this one's free. Well, do you know that the middle of December 2007 marks the two-year anniversary of this show? Yeah, this show started the middle of December 2005, and I appreciate you coming along for the ride with me on the Mad Money Machine. 2008 is going to be even better. I've got a lot of fun things in store, a lot of changes we'll be making. For example, I've been thinking, what should we do with the Portfolio Smackdown next year? And one idea I have is to pit all the lazy portfolios against each other. I think that could be kind of fun. And so instead of doing stock picking, which we know is not the right thing to do, we will just simply look at lazy portfolios. And I'm looking at making some changes to the website and doing some more fun stuff. Stay tuned, and I'll fill you in as plans become solidified. Yeah, once again, I want to thank you for being with me on this show. Now, the next couple of shows in December, the last couple of shows in December, I'm probably going to put them together very hastily, so they won't be slickly polished like most of the Mad Money Machine you've become used to. I'll still try to have good content. I might try an experiment where I open the mic, start talking for 20 to 30 minutes, and then turn the mic off, and then upload, or something like that. We'll see. In any case, this is Paul Douglas Boyer, saying it takes money to make money, and it takes entering the Matrix to make a Mad Money Machine. I will see you next week. In the meantime, visit our sponsor, Index Funds Advisors, at IFA.com, matching people with portfolios. Some music on this program provided by music.podshow.com. Give me feedback at feedback@madmoneymachine.com and call the voicemail line 206-734-4763. And finally, win Kramer's book, Stay Mad for Life, by making a comment on some internet blog and reference madmoneymachine.com. See you next week.
How can we get rid of the income tax? If we reduced federal spending to the levels of just a decade ago, we could get rid of the income tax and replace it with nothing. Let me repeat. We could get rid of the IRS and the income tax, all of it, if we reduce federal spending to the levels of just a decade ago. There is only one candidate for president, Ron Paul, who is committed to ending the income tax and replacing it with nothing. Congressman Ron Paul has a 20-year record of saying no to the big spending liberals and lobbyists. He can get it done.
This is Ron Paul. I want to end the IRS and replace it with nothing. No income tax, no sales tax, and responsible constitutional spending. That's a formula for prosperity and the way to a brighter future for our children and grandchildren.
We can end the income tax. Be a part of it. Call 877-RON-PAUL. 877-RON-PAUL.
I'm Ron Paul, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Ron Paul, 2008 PCC.